Full-blooded cowboy. So, you know, my great-grandmother was 100% Cherokee. And so I don't know what that would make me, but I don't never tell anybody I'm part Cherokee. And me and Pastor was talking about that earlier. And but that's when I told him, I said, I just tell everybody I'm full-blooded cowboy. And but amen. Well, I want to get right into the message tonight. It won't be long. And I remember I told you that last night. When you say that, it kind of messes it up, don't it?
Amen.
But I mean it. And I won't be long. And it is good to be here tonight. And I thank y'all for being here tonight. And it's a wonderful privilege to be a part of your mission program. And y'all faithfully each month send support to all the missionaries, and you faithfully support the work at Fundamental Baptist Home Missions and missionaries, and Angie and myself. And I just want to say thank you for that, and thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. Well, let's get right into the message. Matthew chapter number 9. Last night we looked at the church at Jerusalem and how that God wanted to use that church to send out missionaries into all the world that lost sinners might be saved by the grace of God. Amen. But because of their contentment with where they were and what was going on in their lives, they had settled down in Jerusalem doing their own thing, and they failed to get the gospel out like they were commanded in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Because of that, God sent persecution and scattered them, and of course when he scattered them, then the word got out. And that led us from chapter number 1 there all the way up to chapter number 13, where we read about the church at Antioch and how that church was privileged to be able to send out the first, they were the first church sent missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, and they were out of that church there in Antioch. And if you'll remember, you and I are a result of that first church in Antioch sending out missionaries, because Paul on his second missionary journey traveled to the continent of Europe, preached the gospel to them. They received the gospel. That was gospel was preached down from generation to generation. Our forefathers heard it. They believed it. They brought it to this land. You and I believe it, and we're saved by the grace of God tonight. Amen. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to say that you and I are the fruit, we are a result, a direct result of that church in Antioch sending out, being the first church to send out missionaries out of that church. Tomorrow night, being the Lord's will, I'll be preaching on doing more along the lines of faith promise, but I'm planning, Lord willing, to preach a message on grace giving. Grace giving. And so I hope you all will come back, and I hope everybody's here to hear that. And it's something that the Lord has given me that is really good, and I think it'll challenge you and be a real encouragement to you. But tonight I want to preach on one of the most important needs when it comes to biblical missions, and that is praying for missions. And God wants us to give, there's no doubt about that, but he also would have us to pray. Amen. If we give without praying, I'll just tell you, it'll hinder what's going on unless we pray. There's not much gets done in the Lord's work without prayer. Amen? And so in Matthew chapter number 9, we're going to start reading in verse number 35. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight we want to say thank you for saving our souls and for writing our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, thank you for being so good to us. Father, we thank you for what we've heard tonight from Brother Mills, and Lord, I pray that you'll continue to bless him and use him in a mighty way to reach those in Cherokee. And God, I pray that you'll keep his heart stirred and, Lord, meet the needs that he has and increase his support, Lord. And I just pray your blessings to be upon him. I pray your blessings to be upon Brother Jeff and, Lord, the work that you've called him to do. Continue to meet their needs. And Lord, bless them. I pray for this church that your will be done. And, Lord, that you'll continue to use this church like you have for so long now, Lord. And I pray that they'll continue to support missions and even take on more missionaries, Lord. I pray that you will enable them to do that. And, Lord, I pray that you'll continue to bless Pastor Wynn and his family, the church family here. May they all be in good health. Strengthen them physically, spiritually, financially, mentally. Lord God, every area of their lives. And Father, I ask once again that you help me as I preach. Please do your work through me. Help me to say that you placed upon my heart, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any missionary will tell you that he needs your prayers more than he needs your money. Amen. Now, does a missionary need money? Sure he needs money. Sure he does. He needs money just like you and I need money. Amen. Those who are back at the house, and we've all got bills. Missionaries on foreign fields, they've got bills. Missionaries here in the States, they've got bills. And so, yes, we need money. But more important than that, we need prayer. We need those who know the Lord to pray for us, that the Word of God will have free course, and that we will be able to do the things that God has called us to do. I know you want people to pray for you. I want people to pray for me. I'm constantly telling people. I'll talk to somebody on the phone and I'll say, pray for me. If we'll be somewhere and I see somebody out that I know and we'll talk for a minute, maybe at the grocery store or wherever, when we get ready to part ways, I'll always say, pray for me, because I need your prayers. And any missionary would tell you he needs your prayers more than your money. We know that money can do a lot of things, but there are many things that money can't do. However, there is nothing too hard for God. God can do anything, or too big when he's moving in answer to the prayers of God's people. There are three great needs in mission work today. One great need is we need mighty power. We need somebody who can get a hold of God. And we know that we can have that power through prayer. We need mighty power. And so we need those who can pray and who know how to pray and who know the Lord to pray for missionaries. You know, our Lord, when he was here, he was a man of prayer. And I don't mind calling him a man of prayer, because he was 100% human, but he was also 100% God while he was here also. By the way, when our Lord came to this earth, he did not cast his deity aside. Amen. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% human. During his life here on earth, we know that Jesus himself, who is God, he prayed before even calling his disciples. He just didn't walk through the crowds and say, how about you and you and you? And he didn't put a sign up saying, I'm looking for volunteers. No, he prayed. Yep. And he asked God the Father. He asked him to guide him, that he might pick those that would be the will of his Father. By the way, Jesus said, I always do those things that please the Father. He said, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Amen. And so we know that he prayed before calling his disciples. We know that he prayed for his disciples. He prayed that their faith would fail not. He prayed that they might be kept from evil, that they might dwell in harmony, that their joy might be full, and that they might share in his glory. And how much more, hey, here's an example for you and I. If our Lord prayed, how much more should you and I pray, and specifically tonight, pray for those who have given their lives to spreading the gospel around the world. We ought to pray for our missionaries.
Amen.
We ought to pray for them by name. I know we're guilty sometimes of saying, Lord, bless the missionaries. But I'm telling you, it'd be much better if we would even make just a list of the missionaries and just start with those that you support here at the church. And pray for them and call their names out before God. Our Lord taught his disciples to pray. He taught them by instruction and he taught them by example. They came to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, pray after this manner. He said, Our Father. By the way, you don't find in the Bible anywhere anybody when they pray saying, calling God Father. But for the first time, the disciples, they hear the Lord Jesus praying. And as the Lord knelt in prayer before God, he said, Father. And so he taught them to pray. Pray after this manner. Say, Our Father who art in heaven. And he goes on. And he's teaching them. And that's not the Lord's prayer. That's a model prayer. God is teaching them how to pray.
Amen.
The Lord's prayer is John chapter 17. There's the Lord's prayer. But he prayed before he went and worked. He prayed after his work. He valued prayer even above service. I mean, there's a portion of Scripture that says that the multitudes came. He withdrew himself and he went and he prayed. Many a times God, hey, the Lord got away from the crowds. I know there's always a need. There's always something to be done. But yet the Lord knew the importance of withdrawing himself and getting alone so he could pray to the Father. By the way, that's what God would have us to do also. That's why he said when you pray, enter into your closet and thy Father which and pray to him in secret. And he says when the Father sees you praying in secret, he'll reward you openly. We're not to pray like the Pharisees that stood in the streets and out loud with their hands in the air. They wanted to be seen of men. But no, the Lord said, you need to get alone and you need to pray. And he prayed before going to the cross. He prayed while he was on the cross. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And even now, after dying on the cross, giving his life that you and I might go free. The Bible says that he was buried and he rose again the third day. And after he arose, he was on the earth about 40 days. He was seen of over 500 people. He then ascended into heaven. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing? He's praying. He's making continual intercession for you and I right now according to the will of God. And so he prays even now. He has a present prayer ministry. He is our intercessor. And his work is twofold as high priest and advocate. As high priest, it is to keep us from sin. As advocate, to restore us if we sin. What are you saying tonight? I'm saying that God desires you and I to be men and women and boys and girls of prayer. He wants us to pray, and one of the most important needs that we have in this day and hour is that we pray for our missionaries. They're facing a lot, to say the least. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, the rulers of darkness of this world, and all those things. That's what we wrestle against. We have an enemy. Our enemy, you're not my enemy, and I'm not your enemy. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. He is our adversary, the devil. And he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And let me just tell you something. the top on his list, I can promise you, are God's men who are spreading the gospel. He would like nothing more. Hey, he would nothing less, nothing more. He would love to destroy their lives. Simply that the gospel would be hindered from going into all the world. And so there are three great needs in mission work today. We need mighty power. Somebody has got to get a hold of God. We need manpower. Somebody's got to go. And I thank God for those who do go into all the world. And how do we get those? We pray. Again, we pray. Our text says, Jesus himself says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Somebody's got to go. Do we need more laborers to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Yes, because there, hey, as many people as there are around the world today and as much technology that we have today, there's still places around the world that have never heard the name Jesus. And we need men who will surrender to God and say, I will go. Men like Isaiah who said, hear my Lord, send me. How do we get those men? Through prayer. We pray, Lord God, call someone. Send someone forth. Specifically out of our local churches. Because that's where he calls them from. Remember Acts 13. As they ministered to the Lord, as they prayed and fasted, the Holy Ghost said unto them, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. And by the way, there's a work to do. God's busy. He don't sleep nor slumber. No, he's busy. And he's doing that he desires to do. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's never changed. I told you that last night. He's still seeking, still saving, still desiring that lost sinners will come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. That's God's will. He's not willing any perish. Not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. There are many following false gods, worshiping idols and all kind of objects and things, and they're lost. They need to be saved. They need to be shown the truth that there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So we need mighty power, yes. We need manpower, yes. Thirdly, we need money power. Somebody has got to give. How shall they preach except they be sent? Somebody's got to give. It takes money. And so somebody has got, excuse me, to give. So we must have prayer. We must have personnel and provisions for the work of missions to go forward in a manner that pleases God. God would have all of us pray and provide, but he has some go. Matthew 9:38, by the way, we have a prayer request here. Now, this is really the only prayer request I see in the Scriptures. Here in the Gospels, Jesus, could you imagine Jesus being a prayer meeting going on and the Lord raising his hand during the prayer request time? And somebody says, yes, Lord. And he says, yes, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. Yeah. That's a prayer request of the Lord himself. That we might pray that he will send forth laborers. Let me tell you something. His heart yearns to see souls saved. Does your heart yearn to see lost sinners come to know Jesus as their Savior? Amen. This is not only a prayer request, but it is a prayer command. In 1 Samuel chapter number 12 and verse number 23, I believe it is. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. The prophet Samuel felt it was a sin not to pray for God's people. And how much more is it a sin not to pray for our missionaries? And so I want to look at quickly at three thoughts about praying for missions. The first one's found in verse number 38. We must pray for missionaries to be sent. It says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Here we are given God's way of obtaining missionary personnel. Missionaries are called of God in answer to the prayers of God's people. In Acts 13, 1 through 4, we see the calling of the first missionaries. We looked at that last night. They were giving themselves to preaching and praying and fasting. And in verse number 38 here, we're to pray that God would send laborers out of the church into the harvest, which is the world. The local church should not be looked upon, by the way, as the permanent residence for some. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is wanting to send some forth out of the local church. Amen. Let me tell you something. Bible colleges are not the sending agency. Clearing houses are not the sending agency. Here's a good one for you. Mission boards are not the sending agency. Thank God for all these colleges and clearing houses and mission boards, for they aid in the work in the work of missions. But hey, it is the local church.
Amen.
I am 150% local church.
Amen.
And God sends missionaries. He calls them from the local church and they're sent forth, you see, into the harvest, which is the world. The church is where the sinner can be saved and get trained and established in the word and work of God. Amen. We ought to want to send out missionaries. Amen. From our churches that the gospel might be carried in all the world. A good philosophy might be pray them in, that is, get them saved. Pray them up, get them strong. And then pray them out, get them serving. Amen?
Amen.
And so God would have us to pray that missionaries be sent forth out of our churches. Secondly, we must pray for missionaries to be sustained. It's not enough that they go. They must stay when they get to the field.
Amen.
So many times we hear of someone going to a field, whether it be somewhere in the States or maybe somewhere on a foreign field, and yet they're there for a while and then they have to come home for whatever reason. They didn't stay. So it's not enough that they go, they must stay. It's horrible to give and pray for a missionary and then about the time he learns the language and the culture and he's able to really do something for God, then he leaves the field and he comes home. And when he does, he leaves a gap in the hedge of God's work. And this is why we should pray. And by the way, before we get too critical of a missionary for leaving the field, how much have we prayed for that missionary? Could it be? I don't want to lay too much on you by making this statement, but could it be our fault that the missionary went and was not able to stay because he had nobody back at the house praying for him? God wants us to pray. How much have we prayed for them while they were there? By the way, what were we doing when they were struggling about coming home? I know a missionary right now, he's up in Maine. Boston. Stephen Brock. Do you know Brother Stephen Brock? Stephen Brock, let me tell you something. He is under the gun. Talk about heavy persecution. He's a country boy from the mountains of North Carolina, and God sent him to Boston, Massachusetts. Oh, yeah, Boston. Salem, he goes there once Well, he goes there a lot, but I think once a year they have around Halloween, let me tell you, some wicked people live there in this area. They're Satan worshipers. There's satanic churches everywhere, he says. And he gets out on the street and he preaches the gospel, and they have like a one-night thing around Halloween where they all get out and do all their wickedness on the streets. And somebody was videoing him and put it on YouTube. You can pull up Stephen Brock in Boston, Massachusetts, and see it. They're spitting on him. They're throwing things at him. They're threatening him and his family. His family has gotten death threats from the members of the Church of Satan there in Salem, Massachusetts. And I almost cried when I watched that video, because I thought, what was I doing when Stephen Brock was going through pure Hades? What was I doing? Was I watching something on TV? Was I out with my friends? And there's nothing wrong with these things, but I'm just saying, hey, missionaries need prayer. They need us to pray for them. And so let's not be too critical of those who go and then come back, especially if we haven't been praying for them. Amen? Could it be our failure to pray for them that the missionary failed to complete the work that God has called him to do? How much do we pray for missionaries? Does our obligation end with putting money in the mission offering? God, help us to face these questions honestly. Amen? Please keep giving. They'll come home if you don't. But don't forget to pray. Pray for the missionaries. Make a list. Call their names out. I'm one that desires your prayer. I was just in Honduras a month ago. That's one of the most dangerous countries on earth. Very dangerous. They'll kill you in a heartbeat over there. There's other places that are very dangerous. And so we need your prayers. Philippines. Man, the Muslims are growing by leaps and bounds in the Philippines. And even here at home, things are stirring. Things are stirring. And here's Brother Mills, Brother Red going to Cherokee. You think the Cherokee Nation is going to get together and say, we have this fellow by the name of James Mills, and he's coming in. Let's just go welcome him right on in. Am I all right saying that, brother? No, there's going to be some conflict. There's going to be some resistance. And so missionaries need prayer. I want to give you 8 areas to pray for missionaries. The first one, pray for them physically. I want to help you tonight in praying for missionaries. Pray for them physically. A sick missionary can't do the job a well missionary can. Pray that God will protect them from sickness, disease, viruses, and the list goes on. Pray for them physically. Pray for them spiritually. Their devotions, that they'll keep up family devotions. Pray for his preaching, their soul winning, the church work. Everything that a church does in America, they do the same things on the foreign field. Same thing. The needs you have here, missionaries on the foreign field have those same needs. Pray for them mentally. Can you imagine what it might be like to learn a new language? A new culture, new laws, new regulations. It wasn't too long, I think sometime last year and around the fall, the end of the year, Russia passed a new law, and I know a man in Russia right now. And he's a missionary there, him and his family, and they just passed a law that if they catch you preaching on the street or even witnessing or passing out gospel tracts, they're going to consider that, here's what they said, missionary endeavor. And they're going to arrest you and put you in jail. That's what's going on right now. Amen? By the way, if you really want to know what's going on around the world, you'll not find it on mainstream media. Amen. Ask your missionaries. Yeah. They'll tell you exactly what's going on in the various countries. And you'll get it from the horse's mouth then. Pray for them mentally. Pray for them emotionally. Some of them faced culture shock, hard time adjusting to being away from home. Pray for them morally. Hey, don't think because they're in a new country they'll not be tempted to sin. Amen? And a lot of them, those women in these countries, they're looking for a free ticket to America. And so pray for them morally. Pray for them socially. The missionary must learn to get along with other missionaries, with those in authority and those to whom they are ministering. Pray for them domestically, their family life. Listen, if he loses his family, he loses the ministry. Amen. Pray for them domestically. Pray for them financially, because in these first seven that I give you, if he fails in the first seven, it don't matter how much money he has. Amen. So continually pray for the financial needs of the missionaries. And then lastly, we must pray for missionaries to be successful. We send them there to do a job, do we not? Oh yeah, we do. We send them there to do a job. And we need to pray that they'll be successful at the job that God has called them to do. And we need to pray also that God, and realize that God does not judge like man does. There are some that'll go to a third world country, and inside of the first year, they done started three churches and got 300 in each church. Then there'll be another missionary. He might go to Spain or Portugal or somewhere over in Europe. And after a year, he might have 10 people coming. You know, the areas are different. And if we're not careful, we'll judge the one against the other. We'll compare the one against the other. We'll say, oh, this old boy, he's got a touch on him. He's just burning it up for God. We don't know about him. We'll go watch him for a while. Adoniram Judson, if my memory is correct, Adoniram Judson was the first missionary from America to a foreign field. He went to Burma. He went to Burma to win the Burmese people to the Lord. Do you know how long it was, how long he was there before he won his first convert? 7 years. I know, not many, but I know a couple preachers that he'd have never lasted being a missionary out of there, being supported through their church, because they'd say, this old boy, he's sending letters every now and then. He ain't never got anybody saved. We're just going to drop him. So we have to be careful how we judge, because some areas, hey, they're tough. Amen? They're tough. And I know some missionaries. I mean, I know a lot of missionaries, and I'm telling you, some of them are fire-breathing Baptist preachers. I'm telling you, I mean, they will stir, make you want to swing from the lights and run up and down the aisles, and they're in difficult areas, and they have just a few handful of people saved every now and then. And so to say, well, they must not be doing that, you know. But what I'm saying is we don't want to judge them. Amen. Do big crowds mean I'm a successful preacher? Do I judge success by how many are saved each year? You see, my success and your success is determined by our faithfulness to God, yes, but to four principles that I have here. The first one is me being what God wants me to be. I'm the only person that can be me, so why not be me? Amen? There's nobody else that can be you, so why not just be you? God made you, you, and God made me, me, and we ought to be what God wants us to be. And so me being what God wants me to be, hey, that'll bring success. Me going where God wants me to go, me doing what God wants me to do, and me accomplishing what God wants me to accomplish. Now, these principles here are guidelines for determining success for myself and any Christian for that matter. And if these determine success for me, and if these determine success for you, then the same would be for a missionary. Am I correct? Success for the missionary would be the same four principles. Him being what God wants him to be. Him going where God wants him to go. Him doing what God wants him to do. And him accomplishing what God wants him to accomplish. And so it's my prayer tonight, church, that the Lord will lay upon each of our hearts the burden to pray for our missionaries. Amen. To pray for our missionaries so that we may effectively also pray that the Lord of the harvest will send missionaries out, will sustain the missionaries, and will make them successful. Amen. May we all have the attitude of supplication. Amen. Listen, we have a Father in heaven, and we should not act as if we don't. We are never out of His sight. Amen. We are His children. Amen. We're the sheep of His pasture. And He loves us with a perfect, absolutely perfect, pure love. He loves us so much He gave Himself for us. Amen. His ear is open unto our cry. And let me just tell you something. When you pray for others, that is a prayer that God pays attention to.
Amen.
Amen. Because let me just tell you something. God knows what's going on in a missionary's life. God knew what was happening to Stephen Brock. God knew. He saw what they were doing to His servant. And how much more should we pray? Amen. That, for instance, like Brother Stephen, would stay strong in the Lord, stay close to the Lord, and that God would give him boldness and courage in the face of those devils. Amen? We should do that. And so may God give each of us an attitude of supplication for our fellow laborers in the ministry of reaching souls for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praying for missions, praying for missionaries, one of the most important needs. Amen. Let's all stand.